You're tuned in to Steve Megatron on Altered Geek.
Welcome to Altered Geek. I'm your host, Steve Megatron Phillips, and in this episode, returning from
somewhere. August?
Yeah, last August, from the time warp.
It is I have returned. Michael Powers is here to share his opinions on things that he probably doesn't know very much about anymore.
Guess what episode number this is?
I don't remember the last episode number I was on. Do you? Did you look it up? Did you even try to look it up?
The
last one I was on.
Would I be a bad host if I didn't?
It's not very special if you didn't.
I'm not Michael Blanchard. I don't remember.
I don't even know where to go. Like, I don't even know how far back to go.
I can tell you.
I don't go to the site all that much, so that's probably bad on me.
I think the last episode you were on was
it was sometime in August or October. Yeah.
It was definitely around that, but because I just tried doing a search in the website and it put me at episode 147, so I'm guessing that it's like around.
So
it's after 150.
So what are we at? Like, you're around 200.
I'm closing in on that number.
So
it's
195.
We're at 196.
Oh, what? Okay, come on, that was pretty good.
Yes, that was a very good guess. For not having been on in a while, that was a pretty good guess. I've actually run most of this year flying solo.
I've seen, you know, I see your posts, and if I see them in a timely manner, I try to share them with my limited number of followers. But man, it has been a crazy year, and I have been. I mean, you can attest to this. I mean, every couple of weeks, I'll try to schedule a time to record with you, and then something happens. Like, the universe gets in the way. Like, the universe did not want me podcasting in any way, shape, or form.
Yep, and then it totally just is like, nope, see you later.
Yeah. Like, this job... I'm still in the same job I was on, but you know, it got really overwhelming after the last record that I was on, and it took me. I mean, I still don't have a handle on it. Like 8 months later, but it's gotten better. Still trying to work through it. Still trying to find that balance between work and life, where, you know, I actually get to have a life, and it's not so much work as my life. If that makes sense to anybody out there.
Oh yeah.
So it's been a rough transition. Like, I didn't go to the movies. I love movies. Anyone that's listened to any podcast I've ever done, I love movies. And I had an incident. I wouldn't really call it a breakdown over Thanksgiving weekend, but I had a moment over Thanksgiving weekend, and I stopped going to the movies, like, completely. Like, from Thanksgiving weekend to, like, the first week of April this year, I did not go to the movies.
Wow.
Because I couldn't do it. It was one of those instances where I think I might have posted about it on Twitter or Facebook, but it's like, imagine going someplace that you like and all you can see is the stuff that you're going to have to go back and fix. That was just, like, way overwhelming for me. and I couldn't work past it. But the fun thing that happened is I generally think I have a pretty good track record of picking out movies I want to see based on I don't do reviews. I don't read reviews. I don't care for reviews. I'll read them after the fact. If I'm looking for someone to justify my opinion of a movie or various content. But I probably should not have had that beer. I lost my train of thought. Crap. See, I don't even drink anymore. Like, this is like the first beer I've had in like 3 weeks. So, yeah, I didn't go to the movies. I was trying to put my movie picking abilities to the test. And instead of going to see the movies based on trailers or various articles I may or may not have read about said movie, I decided I'm just going to buy said movie.
Okay.
So Doctor Strange. I did not see Doctor Strange in theaters. Went online and pre-ordered it. Logan went online and pre-ordered it. Pre-ordered Ghost in the Shell and Passengers with Chris Pratt and Jennifer Lawrence.
Yep.
Those are all movies I wanted to see in the theater, but I could not make myself go.
And it's actually not that much more expensive to buy it as to just go see it in the theater.
Especially down here. I mean, I don't know what prices are like back in Michigan right now, but in Ohio, about the same. Okay. Well, down here, probably about the same. So I don't mean to trumpet my horn or anything, but you know, a movie right now costs us about a little north of $50.
Okay.
Like that's for two tickets and pop and popcorn and candy. But that's less than, that's more than buying the movie and like rolling the dice on paying $20 and hoping that it's a good movie and you have a physical copy of it. So I'm happy to report that Doctor Strange worked out okay. Really enjoyed that.
I did too. That was a good movie.
My wife and I enjoyed Passengers.
Enjoyed that as well.
Logan.
That was really good.
We both like quite a bit. I'm a little bummed because I have the home video release came with the noir version, which is in black and white.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't watch movies, but I don't have time to watch stuff by myself. So I don't think I'll ever get to experience that because when I watched it with my wife, we watched it in color. And I don't think it's a movie she would want to revisit.
So good,
I don't think I'll ever get to see it, you know, in glorious black and white. So the only movie still on that list. Oh, there was another one, John Wick 2. I mean, that one was a no-brainer. I was going to buy that one anyways. We both really like that. Now, the last one still on my list is Ghost in the Shell, which comes at the end of July. And I saw the back and forth online about this, that, and the other thing about Ghost in the Shell, but I don't really let that stuff affect my opinion of a movie. So I'm excited to see it. I have no opinion of it right now, so in the comments, if anyone's commenting on this, please don't try to talk me out of watching it because I'm already going to buy it. The one thing that changed, I had another small incident or breakdown like after my wife and I moved into our house. Yes, we live in a house now. I have a house.
Congratulations.
When I was last on in August, we were still in an apartment or a townhouse. We bought a house at the beginning of February. Moved in. Everything's gone really well. Really like it here. But one of the things that happened after we moved in, I had another little breakdown involving an incident with my work phone being in the bedroom at night And I learned that that was a bad idea because I rolled over one night at like, I already had to get up early in the morning. So I was having trouble going to sleep, and I rolled over one night at 12:30, and my work phone is an Android phone.
Okay.
And it had the little blue indicator light was on, saying that a text message or a phone call or an email had come in. And 12:30, I'm already having trouble sleeping. I'm trying to sleep. Now I see this blue light on my phone, which usually is the blue light of death as far as I'm concerned. So, you know, I definitely can't sleep because now I want to know what that blue dot is. So I unlock my phone, check my email. And of course, it's work related. Someone called in a ticket at 12 in the morning, you know, about something. And I'm just like, I can't do anything about it right now, but now I'm awake. And my brain is thinking about what could the possible resolution to this case be? What could this, you know, what, how, you know, the next day I decided that at 10 o'clock, that phone is going on the counter in the kitchen and is never coming in the bedroom again. So that's what happened for, it was that way for about a month, and then in April, it was like all through March and April, I did a laser install at a theater that's 20 minutes away, which the laser stuff is really cool. Only if you can see this one particular like tech demo slide thing in front of it to show you what you're actually getting out of it, which a lot of places aren't showing. So it's kind of hard to sell people on the laser like myself without showing them this piece of content, but that's neither here nor there. So they put in a laser and I decided that that's something that I would like to go to. And then I kind of had this thought that if I'm putting my phone on the counter at 10 p.m., and I'm going upstairs to watch YouTube videos with my wife, what's the difference between putting my phone on the counter at 10 p.m. and leaving it there and going out to the movies for like a 10:30 show? Because they do that down here. They have like a 10:30, 10:45 show. There's no difference. So while I was doing the laser install, I went in and picked out like six seats that are, in my opinion, quote unquote, the perfect seats. So now when my wife and I want to see a movie, we go online and we check to see if it's playing in the Dolby House. And if it is, and any two of those six seats are available, we purchase those tickets as long as it's like for a 10 p.m. or later show, and we go. So I've been able to see a number of movies that way, and it's worked out pretty well so far. It's just little things like that that have helped me get my bearings back with this job, like my life back. And now I'm able to record tonight, which is a freaking miracle.
I know we've been trying to do this for months.
Yeah.
Off and on.
And just something would just happen. Like I would get a call that would keep me out past like I would leave a site at like 9:30 and like tell you that I wasn't going to be able to make it because I have a 2-hour drive in front of me. You know, it's just, and I am very happy that I got to be here tonight. And so that's awesome. But that's where I've been. That's the kind of stuff I've been going through the last, 10 months now. So, I mean, we kind of caught up a little bit off air, and I'm sure people have been keeping up with you.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, I don't want to be a dick about this, but, I mean, if you want to talk about something that you've been, that, because I've been talking a little bit a lot here.
Well, in the meantime, I've also changed jobs and so on, and so like I've been changed positions and in said job, which I actually get to, like I mentioned off air, manage podcasts and the distribution platform and the metrics, which Thankfully, I was playing around with the metrics back in January with Altered Geek because I decided at Christmas time that I was going to fly solo for a little bit just to kind of see how the numbers did. With the intention of, at some point, I didn't plan on going 6 months without people on, but just schedules weren't lining up, and especially mine. Because I was still in school, so my work schedule varied from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m., and it could go any time between there, or 10 a.m. to 8 p.m., or to 6 p.m., just kind of depending on the day.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because 2 days a week I went to school, and it was a 3-hour class 2 days a week, so it would chop up my schedule pretty terribly, and... So once school was out, my schedule went to 9 to 6, and then it changed to 9 to 5, and then it's been 9 to 5 pretty much since, which has been nice. I mean, I've come in a little bit early and then stay a little bit later, just kind of depending on the day of what I got to get done. But and I'm kind of on call a little bit, which is a little bit different for me, but. It's not bad. I mean, it's not usually anything that's like anything highly demanding. It's just somebody needs a question answered pretty much, and then it's, you know, just quick email and off I go. But so that's been really cool. I've been playing Star Trek Online, which I'm sure everyone on the podcast that's listened lately has heard me talk ad nauseum about. Because that's just I've got five tunes on this account. Now, this account I created back when the game went free to play back in, I think, 2010, 2011, somewhere in that zone. And I remember wanting the game when it first came out, but the game was, not only were the graphics terrible, and the flight's terrible and the interface was terrible. Like, I could not make heads or tails of what to do when it first came out. And then when it first went free to play, and the mission that was available on the free to play is no longer available now. So, like, when I tried to go back and play that character that I had created all those years ago, now mind you, I'd never gotten past like Ensign, so
mm-hmm.
It wasn't even late level one yet. But it's because the game kind of froze me in there, and turns out that everything that they created, all those earlier missions, were removed, and they started creating seasons.
Okay.
So when I went back to play again, I ended up creating a new character, and on the same account, which I was surprised was still active after 5 years. but it was, and the character was still there, and I couldn't do anything with it. I was stuck in the middle of space with nowhere to go, and it had like part of the old interface still built in, which was odd. And so I played one tune, and then I figured out if you play from the 23rd century instead of modern day, you get to play up to level 10 on the 23rd century, and then you go into the modern day, you know, 25th century era. And the timeline makes sense then, because everybody's referencing you in specific ways, and I couldn't figure out why, and so it made a lot more sense that way. And so once I got the hang of that, I was like, it's a lot easier to level up too, because I had to literally play every level, and then some of them I had to play more than once in order to level up under that tune. And then when I figured out if you start out at the 23rd century, it just makes it so much easier. So I played all my Federation characters that way. I tried playing a Klingon, and then I tried playing Romulan, and I'm not real fond of either one of those, but that's why I've got 3 Federation tunes. I've pretty much figured out all the ins and outs, and there's 5 different currencies in the game that...
I hate that. That's one of the things I hate.
Well, like, there's Zen, which you pay physical money for Zen. There's Dilithium, which you can mine... but you can also turn Zen into Dilithium. There's Lobi, which if you buy a something in the Zen store, such as like an R&D pack or an Infinity Box, or you get a key to unlock it, it'll give you lobies. It'll either give you a ship or a lobby. I've never gotten a ship, and it sounds like a lot. Like, it's a very rare commodity. Like, there's, I wish they'd tell your odds when you go to pay for those boxes, but they don't. And then, like, right now they've got an R&D thing that's basically a raffle, or it's a lottery of sorts that you can win the original Constitution class starship of the Enterprise, but it's a tier 6, which is very good in the game. It's like top of the level tier 6s, and they're using this R&D gambling pack, basically. So you either get the lobby and the R&D stuff, or you get the ship and the R&D stuff. Well, I'm reading, somebody's like, I just opened 40 of these and got a ton of other stuff, but not gotten one ship yet. And then, you know, I've had the same luck and numerous other people. And the ship it sells for, and this is one of the other currencies, is electronic credits, EC. It sells for 1.5 billion EC in the game, which is insane. And then, mind you, like the Kelvin Enterprise, which is from the Abrams Enterprise from the 2009 movie, when that hit the game, it was also 1.5 billion. But it's now, because of this entire new one that came out, and mind you, they're taking advantage of the new skin for the ship, because they made it movie accurate at this point. It's the Kelvin Enterprise is 300. It kind of ranges between 280 and 440 million EC, which is not that bad considering it used to be 1.5 billion. And I've opened enough of the R&D packs that I've got. I've been selling on the exchange to get EC, and I'm at like 45 million now at this point, which it's going to take me forever. But I've also saved up on the summer event. They call them Lolu Nuts or something like that, which you can only get during the summer event on Ryzen. Okay. And so I've saved up a ton of those, and I bought a bunch of them and in game and with the EC and with the lobby. Basically it'll amount to a significant payoff later once they are no longer able to earn them. So
okay,
but yeah, so I mean, I got a lot of stuff on the store, hoping I make at least enough to get the Kelvin Enterprise, because I could settle with that ship, because at least it's a tier 6, and it was my original one I was going after before this whole thing took place. So, but yeah, it's the microtransaction thing and the DLC, like, that was not something I would participate in before.
Yeah, we were talking about that. Your opinion on microtransactions has changed. Now, do you think it's only changed for free-to-play games, or do you think it's changed, like, in general? Because, like, so, for me, I've played free-to-play games, and my most famous one, I think, was War Thunder. And I ended up spending between $60 and $70 on it. Because I had played it so much. Like, I think I had already put, like, 40 or more hours into it before I spent any money. And at that point, it was like, I've played this as much as I would play any $60 game that I've purchased. Like, I've played shorter $60 games. Like, so at that point, I was like, I feel like I can spend this much money on this game because I've put in this much time.
It makes sense. I mean, I've kind of hit that threshold as well. I've been playing since August.
Like, at a certain point, August,
February.
Yeah, like at a certain point, I feel like it becomes like, I want to support this so I can keep playing it. More recently, Overwatch, which is, you know, a game that I still enjoy playing, from time to time, probably for all the same reasons I said back in August. But now I have all my friends on board. I don't know if I did at that time, but now they're all on board. So I get to play with all of them, which is great. But I've spent money on that game. And for anyone that doesn't know, on console, that game is $60. And on PC, it's $40. And then they have... you don't really buy money toward, like, you don't spend money to buy credits to buy stuff. They have microtransactions for buying loot boxes. So basically you're paying like, okay, so I paid $40 to get 50 loot boxes, and everything you get in those loot boxes is entirely random. Like, there's no control over what you just purchased.
Which is basically what the lockboxes are in this game, which they give you the lockbox for free, but they don't give you the key to the lockbox, which you have to purchase.
Right. But you're playing a free-to-play game.
Yes.
So I think I've spent at this point, I know that I've spent another $60 on loot boxes. But I kind of thought about this. Like, I only buy loot boxes at the end of an event. Because Overwatch does these themed events where they come out with new skins that are only available during that event. And obviously you can earn loot boxes through playing the game by leveling up and or various other things. And any loot boxes you earn during that event are themed for that event. So what I do is, or what I was doing at the time when I was playing a lot, I would wait until the last day of an event, and if I didn't get the skin that I wanted, I would spend $20 or $40 to buy a pile of loot boxes, roll the dice, hope I get the skin that I wanted. But what Overwatch does, and I don't know if Star Trek does this too, but what Overwatch does is if you get a duplicate item, they give you like in-game currency. So there are cosmetic skins that you can buy using in-game currency, but you can't spend real money on in-game currency, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, you, like, can't do that with these either. You can't spend real money on the EC. There's no way to do that. You can buy the Zen and turn it. There's an exchange for the dilithium to be turned into that. Which, when you earn dilithium, you also have the capability of taking it to the exchange and turning it into the Zen, which allows you to buy from the Zen store.
Okay.
So you can, if like you mine enough dilithium, you can send it to the exchange and get enough Zen to purchase things that are additional without having to spend any of out-of-pocket cash.
Yeah.
So it can be theoretically free, but it depends on how much time you want to invest.
Exactly. And Overwatch is the same way. So it's like, I still want to spend more money on the game. So what I've decided to do is, the way I do it is because I drive a lot for my job.
Mm-hmm.
I have a gas card. All my gas is paid for. But I have a Speedy Rewards account. And so I can go to, you know, the Speedy gas stations and rack up points. And I can take those points and I can turn them into PlayStation gift cards.
Nice.
And so I use that money, those PlayStation gift cards that I redeem, I use those to pay for my loot boxes. So, and every once in a while, like maybe I don't have enough, but I'm like, I really want that skin. Like I will use my own money to actually get what I want, or for the chance to get what I want. Because eventually, like, all the skins are available. Like, you can purchase all the skins, even the ones that are like themed, but usually they cost like a whole bunch of credits. Like, credits are, anyone that's played Overwatch knows that credits aren't easy to come by, but there are skins in that game that are like 3,000 credits, and that can wipe out a bank. So it's like you always want to try to get it out of a loot box, but sometimes you can't. So like I said, there's an exchange rate for duplicate items, so like you can get even though you might not get the skin you want, maybe you got a ton of duplicates, so you have way more in-game credits than you had when you started. I feel like it's kind of a wash. So, but plus, there's something ridiculously fun about opening a loot box. Like, I have my wife, my wife and I will sit there and we'll hand off the controller every other one. Like, you open this one, I open that one, and it's just fun to see what we get. But no, that's cool about Star Trek. I've never really gotten into the MMO stuff myself.
I don't think I would either if it weren't for the fact that it's Star Trek themed.
Yeah.
Because I like the ships, and I like the getting to build up the characters, and basically it's virtually impossible to not come up with like the most unique uniform either, because you can buy the uniforms. And it's fun because you can take from almost every universe of those, and you can pretty much customize the ships however you want. Like, there's variations of how you can do the nacelles or the decals or the various stuff like that. You can send your crew on missions. You can it's a rather intricate system, which I'm not entirely used to. But it's I've had a lot of fun with it. There's a lot of time travel, which that's indicative of Star Trek, but it's and there's like fleet stores. You can join a fleet, and you get the ability to buy higher level ships that you can't get basically on your own.
Okay.
So it's kind of nice in that sense too. You donate a certain amount, and they, you know, they promote you in the ranks, and you can take from their pool of stuff.
I assume the E-class is in there.
The Enterprise E?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's in there. They actually, every 10 levels, they give you a free ship in the game until you hit level 40. That's your last free ship, and then after that, you have to buy them.
Okay.
So, like, I got, like, if you start out 23rd century, you start out with, like, a frigate, which is basically, like, the Reliant.
Okay.
From Star Trek 2. And then but it's like the old school version. Then they give you the original series Enterprise, basically, the Constitution class. And then when you get to the 24th century or 25th century, they give you the refit version. And now, mind you, you can usually choose between three different ships. I just always choose the ones that are the cruisers, because they last longer. Stronger hulls and all that. You can do like the next one after that. I think you win a mission and you get the Enterprise C basically handed to you, which doesn't count against your numbers. It's just a freebie. And then the next round you get to choose between like the Defiant, which has you know, it's from start DS9, and then you get the Enterprise D. It's you choose between those, and the Enterprise D is you can't do the saucer separation unless you buy the one that's in the Zen store, and you can't do the cloaking from the Defiant unless you buy that one from the Zen store as well. Like, they have three different levels of it. You can get one in the and the fleet one doesn't come with it either. You have to physically purchase them to get these special consoles that come with them. Because like any of the Zen store ones, they come with a specific thing. So like the Enterprise D will come with saucer separation. The Defiant comes with cloak. The Enterprise A comes with, which is the old Constitution refit, comes with an emission sinking torpedo, like Star Trek VI, where they you know, find the cloaked ships and it'll seek them out and swirl around the screen. So, I mean, like, they each come with their own specific benefits, but yeah, it just depends on how much you want to spend on them. And so, like, then I think I got the Enterprise E after that, and that was the last one. And so when I signed up for a fleet, I got the Enterprise F, which they created for the end game.
Okay.
It's a part of the storyline. And so I fly around in that, which you can do transwarp speeds that are you can do that when you hit level 50 something, but because of the way it's designed, you actually get double the time limit, so you get about 30 seconds on any other ship, but the Odyssey class ship, you get 60. So you can literally blow across the map in like no time.
Hmm.
So it's pretty neat. I mean, I've had a lot of fun with playing around with it, but I've been trying to get my hands on the Kelvin Enterprise for since I started playing and discovered it was a thing, and then now I'm trying to get my hands on the other one, but I'll settle for the other one if I can't, if the price doesn't go down on it. Because there's no way to physically get the EC built up unless you get it from somebody.
Right.
I mean, I can mine. They have like a Tour of the Galaxy thing where you can earn up to like 450K of the EC a day. And I do it for all four tunes so that I can get, you know, about almost 2 million out of them. So, but it's still, it would take forever.
Yeah. So, can we use this as a jumping off a point to talk about what was the NES Classic and the Super NES Classic that was announced?
Yeah, we could do that.
I mean, it's all video game related.
Oh, yeah, video games. Definitely.
So the NES Classic was a thing.
Yeah. Last year.
I didn't get one. I assume you didn't get one.
Nope.
Did you try to get one?
Nope.
Not at all.
Didn't even want the NES.
Okay. I tried to get one every once in a while. I would just go on Amazon real quick to see if Amazon still had them for the actual price, you know, trying to catch it when it was in stock.
It was like $99, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think the actual price was $60.
That's not bad. The new one is $89, I think.
It's $80. Okay. It's $79.99. So you know, the NES Classic, I think this is actually one of the things we talked about the last time I was on the show. I remember talking about this.
Well, like, I think we were talking about the fact that, you know, they're going to do one. It was just a matter of when.
Right. But I think I remember talking about the NES Classic because they didn't go far enough for it. Like, I believe my opinion was, I'm willing to pay more to be able to add NES games to it. I believe that was my takeaway on the last episode I was on.
Mm-hmm.
But I was trying to find one because there were games on there that I would like my wife to play. I'm a little bit of a grave robber, cradle robber. My girlfriend, or my wife, was born in 89. So she missed out on like the early era of video games. She grew up with like playing primarily PlayStation for a little bit, and then jumped right to an Xbox and then an Xbox 360. So I would try every once in a while. Like, I had an email alert set up on Amazon to tell me when they're in stock. But long story short, was never able to get one. And Nintendo canceled them in April. And now, 2 days ago, I think, they finally, after much speculation, they announced the Super Nintendo Entertainment System Classic. Which I have immediately decided that at all cost, I will own one.
I had to go to three different sites to get the total list of the games that are actually in it. Because some sites would list certain things that other ones would not.
Yeah.
Which was annoying.
So, the list of games on the NES, Super NES Classic, I don't know if you just want to put them in the show notes or whatever, but the SNES is where I had an NES. But I feel like the SNES is where I actually got into gaming. Like, where gaming became, like, a thing.
For me, that was kind of the same boat. I didn't own one growing up, but I had every friend I knew had one.
So, and, like, when I think about Nintendo games or gaming in as a kid, I more closely relate to anything that was on the Super Nintendo or later. So when I saw that list of games, like, I told my wife, I said, I have to have one regardless of cost. Like, I will try to get one for the $80 price. But I'm willing to pay more than that for these games. Especially for her to be able to play them, because I think it'd be great to watch her play Super Metroid or Yoshi's Island. Among other games that are on there. But I'm just gonna try. Like, I checked Best Buy. I've been checking Best Buy. In the U.S. we haven't put them up for pre-order yet. They've gone up for pre-order everywhere else, and they've shot up to like $250, $300 on eBay. I'm not an idiot. I won't pay that much, because I know whenever Nintendo does a virtual console on their Switch, those games will all be available on there for much less than $300.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah. So, do you want an SNES Classic? Are you going to, like, try to, like, find one online? Like, for the street cost. Not the street cost. For the MSRP?
I've thought about it, but at the same time, like, I don't really play console anymore.
But what about your kids? Like,
yeah, they're a long ways away.
Okay.
This one is the only tempting one.
Yeah.
Only because of what's on it. Like, there's Mega Man X, there's Mario World, Mario Kart, Metroid, or I mean Super Metroid, you've got Legend of Zelda, I think a Castlevania is on there. I think a Final Fantasy is on there.
Final Fantasy III, which many people consider to be the best one, or Final Fantasy VI. There's also Star Fox 2. Super Mario World 2, Yoshi's Island, and Earthbound, which is a $300 game sometimes by itself, for like an original cartridge. And Secret of Mana. I think I saw Secret of Mana and I just was like, okay, I have to have one. So I'm really hoping to be able to snag one. And now you only have from September 29th through the end of the year. At least this time they're being a little more, upfront with their plans. Like, this is a limited thing. It's only going to be available for like 4 months and then we're done with it. Rather than people thinking that they'll just be able to wait around for them to be available. So, see how that works out for them.
Yeah, I mean, I see it kind of lasting a little bit. But at the same time, I'm not really all that sure. Just because people are probably going to try and throw this up online.
Oh, without a doubt. But I'm just
scalp it terribly.
But I'm just saying, like, Nintendo's already said when they're going to be done selling it. Like, when the NES came out, it was like, we're releasing it on this date. And they never said, they said that it was always meant to be a limited run. But they never said up front that it was going to be a limited run. This time, they're at least telling you that it's going to be a limited run. I don't know if that makes people feel any different about the whole prospect of it or not, but
I think at least people know that it's like, get it or it's gone.
Exactly. Like if you want one, pre-order it as soon as you possibly can. Don't sit around and wait for the market to be flooded with them to the point where, you know, no one's buying them. So the one that really pushed me over was, and I feel like, I don't feel bad for Nintendo. I can't, because they don't plan, or if they do plan, they plan very strict. And where I'm going with this is with the Switch, because I want a Switch. A Switch is one of the other consoles I've been trying to find. And, you know, I told, this was before E3, before anything that happened at E3, I told my wife, I said, if Nintendo announces a Metroid title for the Switch, we're getting one. There's no way to not get one. You know that I cannot not have one. I love the Metroid Prime series, and that was kind of like the only thing that would get me on board. And Nintendo went to E3, and all they did was show a logo for Metroid Prime 4. And now I'm like constantly trying to find one, but I'm not trying to get one. I'm not trying to buy one for more than MSRP. But if Nintendo had gone into E3 and said that Metroid Prime 4 was available like that day or this month, I probably would pay that scalper price for a Switch. Just because that's how much I love Metroid. But they don't plan ahead. Like I feel like the thing came out in April. I feel like I should be able to walk into a store and buy one. Like, to me, that's a little ridiculous. But I don't know how anybody else feels about that. But I want to feel bad for them, but I feel bad for myself for not being able to get one. I don't feel bad for them for not planning ahead.
They never plan ahead, though. I mean, look how far back it was with the Wii when that came out, and then it just blew all out. Like,
but I didn't even have trouble getting a Wii. Like, when I decided, like, hey, I want one, which was like the springtime, like the beginning part of 2007. I was somewhere between like January and March. I just walked into GameStop and bought one. Maybe I got completely lucky. I don't know, but I just walked in and bought one. And obviously, after that, you stop. Once you have something, you stop tracking how its availability. Because it's like, I got mine, others be damned. But I don't know, it just seems very weird. Like, they, and obviously I know that they don't have the deep pockets that other hardware manufacturers do, but you didn't have to release it in March. You know, you could have waited until you had enough. To where this isn't necessarily a problem, but you know, it's already passed. I'm just watching for it. Again, mainly because there's stuff that I want to be able to play with my wife, my Wii U, for whatever. Also because my Wii U like shit the bed. Sorry. I don't know what happened to it. It just stopped reading discs. Like any disc I put in, it would just be like, nope, nothing in here.
It's
sorry,
like
nothing to see.
Red ring of death.
And I couldn't figure it out, so I tried to do a system reset, like a full-on system reset, back to factory settings, and it bricked the console. So we threw it away. So I kept some of the Wii U games that I have. I still have some Wii games, too, because I feel like they're collector's games. Like, I still have the Metroid Prime Trilogy collection for Wii in the steel case. And I kept my copy of Bayonetta 2 for the Wii U because I feel like at some point those may or may not be collector's items, or at least to myself. But I would like to have a Nintendo console because my wife and I did enjoy playing Mario Kart. And we've been watching a lot of YouTube videos on Mario Party, so I know I could get her interested in a new Mario Party. But yeah, that's about all I have to say about both of those.
Yeah, I kind of stopped with Nintendo after they had the Wii. I didn't really buy anymore because I was kind of on the 360, and by then, like, the Xbox One came out, and I was not purchasing an Xbox One, more so because of the fact that it was an overglorified PC. So I wasn't going to spend the money on it.
I still cannot get into PC gaming. I will play games on my computer, but I have not built a gaming computer. And I think my life and my wife's sanity is better for it. Because I'm a constant tinkerer. And the evolution of PC hardware, PC gaming hardware especially, evolves so fast. I would just never stop spending money. So that's primarily why I stick to consoles. Because I don't want to deal with drivers and graphical settings and then go, oh, this game doesn't run the way I want it to. So if I go and buy this $600 graphics card, it'll run the way that I want it to. Never mind the fact that I spent $600 on a graphics card the year before. And granted, those are all exceptions. They're not the rule. They're exceptions.
No, like everyone's got their personal taste. Literally, I bought my motherboard and my processor and that stuff probably about 3 years ago now. And I've got a Core i3, which is basically a dual core. I've got 12 gigs of RAM. And this is DDR3. I'm sure they're on DDR4 right now.
I think so.
I'm pretty sure they are.
I know you can get DDR4, but I don't think you can go into a store and pick up a like you have to build a computer with DDR4.
Yeah, I mean you'd have to build a brand new setup. My motherboard, I have it in a way that I could upgrade to an i7, which okay. I have an i9 now, which Intel's coming out with. So I could put an i7 in my computer and I can go up to 32 gigs of RAM. What else does it have? I have a bunch of USB 3.0 on this motherboard. I bought the motherboard with the intention of that if I ever wanted to upgrade, I wouldn't have to swap out my motherboard. I just have to change out some chips.
Right.
I mean, I spent more for the motherboard because of it, but I have my DVD LightScribe burner, which was a rollover from my old PC. I have two 120 gig SSD hard drives that the only reason I have two is because I ordered one and it never showed up from Amazon, and I contacted them. They overnighted me one, and then the other one showed up a week later, and they were just like, just keep it. And I have a 500 gig hard drive in it, which is sufficient. I'm filling up both drives though, so I'm gonna have to get a bigger hard drive. But the graphics card, I spent $50, and it's played. I've played Battlefield 1 with it, and it's worked fine, had no issues. Now my dad, he has a i7 setup and 32 gigs of RAM. He has 16 gigs of RAM in his PC, but he's got everything SSD, 240 gig hard drives, and then he's got a dual video card setup that's liquid cooled through a radiator.
Okay.
And he doesn't really get any more out of it than I get out of mine. And I've got all my stuff turned up as high as it goes, and he's got his stuff turned up as high as it goes. The only difference is he can hook up three monitors instead of two.
Huh.
And I've got two monitors hooked up, so it's. I guess it just depends on how much you want to spend. But I've played both, and I've not really had an issue.
I don't know. My thing was just, you know, it completely. I'm just saying the way that I am, like. I would just try to constantly have the best. And if I ever saw like a hiccup in anything, I'd be like, okay, this is not, you know, not what I, it would just send me down the rabbit hole. And I don't want that. I don't need that. I don't have time for that. But that's just my personality. That's why I stick with PC gaming. Now that said, I did buy a new Mac at the beginning of this year. And I will say straight up, yes, for the price I paid for the Mac, I could have built a wicked gaming computer, but I did not do that. I went with another Mac because I like my Macs. So it's got, you know, the i7. It's got an i7, you know, 2.7 gigahertz and 16 gigabytes of RAM, and I would tell you what the dedicated graphics card is, but I can't see that right now because it's not running it. But, you know, I just, you know, I compute. PC gaming has just always been a real tough spot for me. So to get into, but
so. What are your initial thoughts on the whole Justice League and having Joss Whedon take over? Before we get into the soundtrack issue.
So, I'm not quite sure I feel like anyone that's been listening probably knows that I'm not a Joss Whedon fan. I loved Firefly. Love Firefly, but I have not revisited. I'm almost scared to revisit Firefly. I feel like Firefly exists in that place in my head where it's safe and should never be touched or bothered. But first of all, I feel really bad for Snyder. Like, totally understand him stepping down and going to be with his family. Totally get it. My fear is no one will ever know, like, because reshoots and everything, no one will ever know really what was Zach and what was Joss.
Because of the reshoots.
And everyone will just assume, like, I feel like if it's good, everyone will just assume it's because Joss saved it. Like, there's no way we'll ever know now if it was good because Zack Snyder made it.
Yeah.
Because he won't, like, if it's good, it's all the credit's going to go to Joss. Like, Snyder won't get any of the credit if it's
even
good.
Even though he bailed, like, within a couple weeks of it being done anyway.
Yeah. And that's kind of how I feel about that. Like, I don't really know how much Joss could actually influence, like, the tone of the movie, even with reshoots. But we've seen some crazy stuff happen with other movies. But that's just that's my quick take on it. Like, I didn't see that, you know, Joss took over and went, yay. I saw it as Zack Snyder left and I got bummed. It really wouldn't have mattered who stepped in. I would have had the same opinion. But I'm, as far as I can tell, I'm in the minority. I liked Man of Steel. I liked Batman v Superman. I don't have a problem with Zack Snyder movies. He's kind of like Michael Bay. I know what I'm getting when I go to sit down in one of his movies, and he delivers what I want to see. I don't go seeing one of his movies and wish it was something else because I already know what it's going to be. But like I said, now we'll never know. Like, and if it's good, it will be because Joss Whedon fixed it. And I think that's a bummer.
Yeah, I mean, now, I'm kind of the... don't get me wrong, I'm not a fan of his either, and I'm not really a fan of Zack Snyder. So either way, I don't see it as, like, a great thing in my mind. But I didn't like Man of Steel and Batman v Superman. I liked it other than the parts that had Superman in it. It was good in every other aspect of the film, but when it had something pertaining to do with Superman, I felt like it was just blah.
Well, I feel like...
like, I enjoyed every scene that had Wonder Woman in it and Batman or Bruce Wayne and Alfred and Bruce Wayne, but...
I love drunk Alfred.
I loved Alfred in this movie. He was, like, the saving grace of that whole film.
Just constantly drunk. Or at least drinking.
Sarcastic. He was very much like the animated series. Mm-hmm. Throwing pot shots at Batman the entire time. Because he can.
So, I... that was good. But yeah, like I said, it's just one of those things. I am interested to see Whedon bring Batgirl to the big screen.
I am as well. He seems to do pretty well with the female characters anyway.
Like I said, I like Firefly. I didn't fall over the moon. I'm not one of the people that's over the moon for Avengers. Because my unpopular opinion that usually tends to get me a lot of hate or a lot of negative comments or a lot of "you're insane" comments, is that Avengers was going to be Avengers regardless of who directed that movie. That's just how I feel about that.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't write it, so.
Well, no, he did.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, like, but he's written other things too. Like, he has a writing credit on Toy Story. But, you know, it's, I just, because of the way that Marvel is, like, and you could see it, you heard about it, you know, I feel like the way that Marvel was kind of started to slip out when we kind of heard about how things were going on Iron Man 2 with Jon Favreau and the pressures that Marvel Studios was putting on him to include certain things to set things up. And while I like Iron Man 2 for what it did, which was, you know, caused the universe to explode, knowing that stuff and seeing how fast, like, Captain America and Thor came together and how haphazard those two movies were, like, good or not, those movies are not, to me, they're not, they don't look very good. Like, the stories in them are fine, but they don't look good. They are made on the cheap. Like, everything in Phase 1 is made on the cheap. And that's because Marvel just was cheap, and they also have this need to have control over their movies, and I totally get it because that's what they're going for. And I just don't think that Avengers could have been anything but what it was. That's just my opinion. I've talked about that before on this podcast a couple of times. I'm pretty sure I've talked about it on Off the Cuff and The Lunchroom and every other podcast I've ever been a part of. But yeah, like, but I like Firefly. I tried watching like his Buffy. I couldn't get into Buffy. Couldn't do I forced myself to watch Dollhouse.
I enjoyed it for what it was. I mean, it was Dollhouse, an interesting concept.
It was an interesting concept, but Dollhouse was saved on the back of the limited performances by Alan Tudyk. Like, his character, I don't even remember his character's name, like Alpha?
Yeah.
Yeah, like, that, his character, like, he's the reason I watched that show. Like, when he showed up, I was like, okay, I'll keep watching to see if this guy shows up again. So, I don't think Joss is all that great. I didn't care for his run on Astonishing X-Men in the comics. So when I hear his name, I don't immediately get excited. I immediately just kind of go, oh, okay. So that's all I have to say about that.
Now, I will say Zack Snyder does have the look of the DC universe. It's because it's supposed to be gritty and not polished.
Well, I think, like the Marvel stuff, I think there's room, and like they've shown with Wonder Woman, I think there's room for everything.
Yeah.
Which, like, I expect
Wonder Woman is really good.
Yes, Wonder Woman is amazing. I expect Flash to be more in line with Wonder Woman than Batman or Superman. But before I feel like that could tail off into another conversation. But we also brought up the change in composer.
Yeah.
That is the first piece of bad news I've heard about Justice League, in my opinion. I don't care for Danny Elfman.
I liked his Batman music.
Well, but That's the thing. There's more than the movie I'm going to than I'm going to say, but I can't remember all of them. His music, I feel like he composed one score for Batman, and he slightly tweaked that one for like Spider-Man and other movies that he's done.
He actually did like, Avengers 2 or like, Age of Ultron.
I feel like maybe I need to rewatch that movie, but see, even that movie, I can only make it halfway through on a rewatch.
Well, they said that it was kind of just a throwaway heroic music on like the rest of Hollywood for that film, but like Spider-Man had like kind of some of the tones of
Batman,
the 89 Batman, in which the 89 Batman kind of set the tone for the animated series, so it was kind of the same theme. But
yeah, but like that's what I'm saying. Like I feel like I don't want to hear that anymore. I'm done hearing that theme.
Now, if he could come up with something as iconic as that,
yes,
for Justice League, then I would be excited.
But I'm just saying, like right now, like and there is something iconic. Like Hans Zimmer even played his music in. There's a moment in The Dark Knight where that music plays,
which his music does work in that trilogy, but I don't think that it fits for this, and I wasn't particularly thrilled with any of the choices anyway. But
I like Wonder Woman's riff.
Wonder Woman's was awesome.
Like I don't know, man. I'm just and I was talking about I was talking about with my buddy. I feel like, and I said this from the beginning when they announced that Zack Snyder was doing this. I feel like Zack Snyder is the only guy that's capable of bringing I can just see in my head. I can see the imaginary comments. Zack Snyder was the only guy I feel that is capable of bringing the Justice League that I see when I watch the animated series to the big screen.
Okay.
If that makes any sense.
Yeah.
And more so like the Unlimited, because Justice League Unlimited is, despite it being a cartoon, is pretty dark and wrapped up in the Justice League doing a lot of shady things.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of cool moments that I believe that Zack Snyder can capitalize on, and I feel like he's the only one that can pull them off. I was a little bummed. If I was bummed by anything with like Man of Steel, is that there wasn't more. Again, it's a Zack Snyder trademark that a lot of people hate, but I was bummed that there wasn't more like slow motion and speed ramps like there was in like 300 to adequately show how fast or how powerful Superman is. Because the stuff I want to see in live action, I want to see Superman versus Shazam. Like, that fight in Unlimited, that's one of my favorite episodes. And that's all because, you know, Shazam calls the Justice League out for being a bunch of paranoid, you know, control freaks.
Which they were.
And if you think about it, in the loosest sense, if you cut out Batman from Batman v Superman, the movie, like, that, if you replace Batman with Shazam in Batman v Superman, that is pretty much what we got, was that episode of Justice League.
I can see that.
Well, it's Lex setting up Superman and pitting him against Shazam. Because in that episode, Lex is, you know, he's going to unveil that city with the power, and he builds the electric generator using kryptonite radiation, and Superman confuses it for a bomb, and that causes Shazam and Superman to go toe to toe. Like, that's,
I can see that.
I mean, obviously, then you take moments from obviously the inspiration, which is Frank Miller's Batman, and collide it all together, and then you cut 45 minutes out of it and release it in the theater, and none of it makes any sense. But you watch the extended edition, which is the version that I prefer, you know, then everything makes a little more sense. And I didn't have that thought before we just sat down to talk. I didn't realize how similar that episode actually was to the events that occur in Batman v Superman.
Which they also pulled the Dark Knight Returns into that with, you know, the whole suit and the...
Oh, absolutely. The Bat fight. It calls from a lot of places. I'm just saying it's very... If you replace Batman with Shazam, you've almost got that episode.
Well, and you've got the animated series Batman with Ben Affleck, too. With the, like his Bruce Wayne.
Yeah. Like, I have yet to have a real problem that can't be course corrected, because one of the things I had a conversation with my buddy. I think they're going to use the death of Superman to create Superman, if that makes any sense.
To make him who we're used to.
Yeah, because like the first movie isn't called Superman, it's called Man of Steel. And I know a lot of people have made that argument. We made that argument. I've made that argument. That he's not Superman in that movie. I don't feel like, despite the title, I don't feel like he was Superman in Batman v Superman. I don't feel like he's earned that title yet on screen. And I feel like when he comes back to life, like with whatever the events in Justice League are, I feel like that's when he's going to be... Or at the very least, it's a moment that Warner Brothers and DC can use to make him the Superman that fans want to see.
Well, I think when he comes back, he's going to be that the black suited Superman.
I believe we've said this before. I want him to be the villain of Justice League.
I think he's going to be.
That's what I want.
Everything I've read on it in the last week, I've heard that he's going to end up coming down, going to blows with the Justice League being resurrected, like around the apocalypse type stuff.
Yeah, it sounds
and he's going to be red eyed, like just kind of like what Batman actually envisioned him to be in Justice or in Batman v Superman.
I feel like that's the live action version of what was at the season finale of Superman the Animated Series. Or the series finale. Like when he comes back as Doomsday's Herald. Or Darkseid's Herald.
Yeah.
Like I feel like we're going to get a live action version of that. And I'm okay with that. I don't need my heroes to be heroes and my villains to be villains. I can deal with them being changed up a little bit. I always thought, even in Justice League, I feel like Superman he's too good.
And Batman's like, you're too trusting. He's like, you know, I've got contingency plans for contingency plans.
Yeah.
Trust no one.
I think the Doom storyline would be another one to see too, the animated version of Doom.
Which I could see that being like a second film or something.
Yeah. So I guess we could use that to talk about what Matt Reeves has said about his Batman movie.
Which it's going to be very detective-y and noir-ish.
We'll see.
Which I would be game for if they would do it, but...
See, that's what I want. Like, I feel like... I don't know how that...
will translate.
Plays. I want it to work. I want to see how it plays, but I can't see it in my brain. Like, I feel like Nolan tried it and realized it didn't work. He wasn't really even. He had moments of detecting or detective stuff in the animated series. Like I don't, but he just always knew. Like I don't.
He always knew, but he had a lot of moments where he went to the back computer and he actually looked for clues and he actually collected baggies of stuff.
Does that sound exciting to you?
It sounds like it's not particularly exciting in a sense, but it would be nice to see him actually do that and not just like and not just have some magic gadget that just does it.
I feel like that's what the first half of Batman Begins was. Like, he was doing research on the mob and figuring out how to take them down, and then he became Batman and still worked at it, and that was, like, we've seen it before, and I feel like that's all that this is going to be too, except maybe, like, I think what's going to make it interesting is who he's detecting. You know, like, what is his case? That's what's going to make it interesting. Because yeah, we're not going to see him, it's not going to be like a montage of him doing detective work and taking down small-time criminals. It's going to be how he tracks down the Joker, which would be like the first 45 minutes of the movie, and then the rest of it's just going to be a normal Batman movie.
Which I just hope that they do it right. That's all I really care at this point.
But what's right? That's the problem. Like, there's no metric for what's right in this situation. Because detective shows to me are Law and Order.
Well,
I don't know if I want to watch a 2-hour episode of Law and Order with a guy in a cape and a cowl.
But if you have elements of it sprinkled throughout the movie, like,
true,
like the Arkham Asylum video game, where he may have to, you know, figure something out really quick, and it's like maybe, you know, a couple minutes here or there throughout the movie.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I think it'll come down to who he's investigating. Like, who they cast as the villain. Like, what...
Or villains.
Yeah. So, just have to wait and see on that one. But it's Batman, and I like Matt Reeves. And I like Affleck's Batman. The only character I have a problem with in the DCU... And it's not so much the character, it's the costume.
The Flash.
Yep. Flash.
I hate that suit.
He looks like a Power Ranger.
He looks like a Power Ranger that used bungee cords to put his suit together.
Like, the way they've shown him so far, like his limited cameo in Suicide Squad and in Batman v Superman on that security footage. And the obviously the teaser trailer where Batman or Bruce goes to recruit Barry, like, that's the Flash. You don't. There's no two ways about that. The guy can play Flash, but that suit is awful.
Yeah, I totally agree with you on that.
So,
I'm not a fan of the suit at all, and. The
bummer is I don't know how they go away from that. Like in his solo movie is probably going to take place after this movie.
Unless Bruce Wayne gives him an upgrade.
Where do you upgrade from that? Like, that suit is from Bruce. Like, Barry didn't make that suit.
Yeah. I guess I could see that.
So.
Yeah, because he was wearing like the hoodie and a mask type of thing.
So, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see. I'm excited. It's one of the few movies that I'm excited for this year, or still this year. Like, obviously, not a huge tentpole movie, but I'm going to go see Baby Driver tomorrow night.
It looks interesting. I'm not sure if I'm going to see it yet.
And then there's Spider-Man, like, which I've heard nothing but good things about.
It looks good. One, you've got Robert Downey Jr., and then... Well, as long as he doesn't overshadow...
That's what I'm worried about.
Tom Holland. And then you've got Michael Keaton.
Yeah, like,
Who swears he's Batman.
My hope is that Iron Man's involvement is limited to, like...
Coming into a scene and then leaving. Like, kind but of it's just like, progression.
Like, 30 minutes of the movie at most. Like, I think that's my fear. Like, I haven't read any reviews. Nothing's been spoiled for me. I know nothing about this movie other than the trailers that have been released. But I'm really excited for this movie. I think Marvel's going to knock this out of the park. It's going to be insane.
Did you see that Sony's going to keep all the money from it?
Yeah, well, that was how it worked out. So, I mean, Sony put the money up for it.
Yeah, that's true.
So Marvel's just the one responsible for putting it together.
Yeah, and allowing it to be in their universe.
Exactly. There's so many reasons people are going to go see this. Even people that are like, oh, there's a third Spider-Man. No, anyone that is going to make a comment that this is the third Spider-Man are also the people that realize that this is a Spider-Man that's actually being done by Marvel Studios.
And it's in universe.
Yeah, but I don't know that the universe thing matters so much as like it's Marvel Studios making Spider-Man
instead of having the mess that we've gotten both the previous two times.
Right. So you're going to have like a massive, I feel like a massive look-in audience, plus you're going to have great word of mouth and all this other stuff. I hope that it's a Spider-Man movie that doesn't feel like it needs Tony Stark to
push it along.
Yes. Like, I hope it can stand as a Spider-Man movie rather than a Spider-Man and Iron Man movie.
Which I think it will. I think that it's playing with the repercussions of the fact that Adrian Toomes, who's in, you know, Peter Parker's neighborhood,
mm-hmm.
is dealing with the issue of Tony Stark.
Well, again,
and so like it falls down to Peter to take care of.
I know where they're bringing Stark in. I'm just saying, or why he's in the movie. I'm just saying, I hope that it doesn't rely on that too much, because I feel like you could have had. What I want is to be able to remove Tony Stark
and still be able to see it and make sense.
And still have it be a complete movie.
That'd be interesting to see somebody edit it after it comes out on home release to see if you can edit out anything with scenes with Tony Stark and make it make sense.
Like, I feel like if that's something that you can do with this movie, then it succeeds. Like, and I'm not saying it's going to be bad because he's in it. Like, I'm sure I'm still going to enjoy the movie because, like I said, I've heard nothing but good things about it. And I can enjoy the movie because he's in it, because I'm a sucker for the world building. Like, I think, you know, I'm the guy that got mad that S.H.I.E.L.D. wasn't in Iron Man 3.
Yeah.
So for this to be what it is and take place in New York, and for it to be supposedly and for it to be part of the same universe, if Stark wasn't in it, you know, yeah, I'd probably be the first one to cry foul and come down on the movie pretty harshly. But I'm just hoping that it can be a Spider-Man movie. It can still be a good Spider-Man movie if you remove Stark from the equation. So that's just what I want, because I want Spider-Man to succeed on his own, because I feel like that was like Sony's crown jewel for a while, and then until it wasn't, and I would just like to see that come back. Plus, I think Spider-Man deserves to be a character that can hold his own in a movie. So. And then, of course, I'm excited. I also want to see Atomic Blonde.
That's Charlize Theron, I believe.
Yeah. Yeah. The female John Wick.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Justice League. Oh, and Star Wars. Yep.
The ones I have on my list, I've been keeping this running thing all year on alteredgeek.com. And that's, I got coming to theaters in 2017. And so, like, I've got the Spider-Man Homecoming I'm looking forward to. Kingsman, The Golden Circle.
Mm, yes.
Very much looking forward to that. Thor Ragnarok.
I see these are movies. You're mentioning movies that I have on my list that I've just completely forgotten about.
Thor I'm looking forward to mostly because that trailer that came out.
Yep.
Where you've got Jeff Goldblum sitting in the chair, and then you've got them saying, "You're going to fight," and then he sees him come out. He goes, "Yes!"
Yeah.
You know, and he's like, I work with him.
Yeah, that's a really good...
And then they bolt at each other, and it's just, it's that sold it for me.
It's a really good trailer.
And then, which I guess that's why he was like, I want a movie where it's fun like Guardians of the Galaxy. And they gave it to him.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the Thor movies in the MCU, they've always been lacking.
Oh, I know. They've been terrible. I've tried watching them. And I'm like, nope.
So.
But yeah, so I mean, I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to Justice League, Star Wars. I want to see Jumanji just for the sake of, like, the fact that I saw the first one, and I know that it's not really comparable, but it just got me intrigued what they're going to do with it.
I haven't watched the trailer yet. All I've seen are the articles regarding... can't think of her name.
Karen Gillian?
Yeah, regarding her character.
Which it's funny how they have these four teenagers that are in detention becoming the characters.
Well, I mean, I know the premise. It's just I don't like that. I don't want to get political on here, but I hate that anything that anytime you see something that you remotely like, someone has to throw something to do with
politically correctness.
Yeah, like sexism or gender or Gamergate or something just has to get thrown in there and make you feel like, maybe it's just me, but
like
feel like,
oh, sucks.
Or like a little guilty for liking what you like, even though like you see what they're talking about, but that doesn't affect the way that you feel about it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm of the same opinion. If I like it, I like it. It's not, it doesn't matter to me if other people...
Like, don't get me wrong. Like, you know, I like the, this kind of a, on a tangent, but I like the Tomb Raider games, but I don't like the Tomb Raider games because Lara Croft has, you know,
yeah,
you know, it doesn't hurt that she's easy to look at, but that's not the main reason why I play those games, you know, like I also understand that there's a difference between characters in movies and TV shows and games. There's a big difference between those and real people.
Yeah.
So, but you know, not everyone in the world gets that, which is where the issue comes from. But it's just like when I get excited about something and then I see, you know, you're like, oh, Karen Gillian's in this movie. I want to see it. And then they're like, you see like an article like, this is why Karen Gillian's character is ridiculous in this movie. And you're like, oh, thanks.
So I have that on my list. And then I have Super Troopers 2 whenever that decides to come out.
I never got Super Troopers.
I enjoyed it for what it was. They revealed that they were going to be doing it back in 2006 and then joked about it in 2009, and then they did an Indiegogo in 2015. They hit their $2 million funding goal 26 hours after the window opened for contributions. And then they got to like 4.4 million for the movie, and then Fox Searchlight Pictures is going to release it. But they began it in 2015, and then it says they went full production in August 2016, and then that's like pretty much the last that's been heard of it. So I'm not sure what's going on, but I still want to see it.
Yeah, I think this is one of those right place, right time movies. Like, I've seen the first one, but I laughed watching the first one, but it's not anywhere on a priority for me. Like, cool. Congratulations.
Mm-hmm.
So
I'm it says that it's finished filming, but it doesn't say anything about when it will be done.
Right.
I'm kind of wanting to see that now. I'm curious what they're going to do with it, but I'm not sure that it's going to be like as great as the original, you know, because that's kind of one of those cult classic type setups. But
right.
So. But yeah, and then you know the Deadpool 2, Josh Brolin, Cable, which looks
well. That's next year, though.
Yeah, that looks interesting. So. Not much else going on other than that, so.
Right.
So I guess we can probably call it a night.
Yeah, I would say that because I'm out on vacation all next week, and I'm really hoping that I will be able to make that happen to do another episode.
Sounds good. Yeah, we'll have to definitely try that.
As of right now, I don't see any reason why that wouldn't be accomplishable, but if it's not accomplishable, it's because I did something or you did something.
Yeah.
So, but I will, for the listeners, I'll try to be, if anyone comments, I'll try to be in there and chit-chatting with you guys for this episode. And I'll have a week off to read and research and do some other things. I, one of the things I want to talk about tonight, but not really pertinent, but I'll just mention it. It's been 10 years since the iPhone launched today on when we're recording the 29th.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Changed my life. I know like there aren't a lot of fans of the iPhone out there, but
I'm not a fan of the phone itself, but to deny what it's done with the smartphone industry.
Yeah.
You can't deny it because that was kind of like the initial, I mean, even when they created the iPod, that kind of was like the start of this.
Yeah.
Because they created that interface and then they created their phone and then it's kind of snowballed from there and it's only gotten better.
Yeah. And I don't know, maybe share like, it doesn't have to be iPhone related, but maybe share your first experience with like a giant touchscreen smartphone. Like the Android stuff or something, just because it's been 10 years since that stuff hit the market. So
it's crazy when you think about it.
Yeah, it is, because now I'm remembering like going to the AT&T store and playing with one and getting up early the next morning and driving down to an Apple store so I could buy one.
I'm still using my Galaxy S5.
I've bought an iPhone every year on launch day since the first one.
I would honestly get a newer phone, except for the fact that I don't want to pay $600 up front. And they make you lease the phones now.
Oh, okay.
Like, you either have to buy them outright, or you have to lease the phone and pay them a monthly payment for the stupid phone. There's no, like, contract thing anymore.
Yeah, yep.
Which is a bit irritating.
Well, so, you're like, not.
I'm going to keep limping along my Galaxy S5 in the meantime because it's been paid off.
Technically, you're not. Like, I get what you're saying, but you're not really leasing it. All they did is, instead of them subsidizing the phone, they made you pay for the phone in installments. So, like, you could run out your 2 years paying for the phone and it's yours, or you can upgrade early where you have to trade it in. So it's like, it's yours if you want it. But you're right. You are kind of also leasing it, but it's still yours if you want it. It's not like at the end of 24 months you have to trade it in. It's still yours. You could resell it. For myself, I jumped on the iPhone one that Apple does, because I was buying a phone every year, and it was like what I would do is find someone to buy my old one, which was usually a family member or a friend. And I would sell it to them and use that money to buy my new one. But then now Apple does their iPhone upgrade program. So now I don't have to find anyone to buy it. I just select the model I want, walk in the store, hand them my old phone. They hand me a new one and I walk out. Now I'm constantly paying the same amount every month, but I don't have to worry about finding someone to buy my phone to be able to buy the new one. So, and it works out for me because it comes with insurance as well.
Yeah, I guess that kind of works.
That's neither here nor there. It's, you know, different strokes for different folks. But yeah, share your story about the first time you use an iPhone or an Android phone or something, because this is kind of the 10th anniversary of smartphones as we know them right now. So,
yeah, definitely leave the comments in the section below on the website. And how can the folks get a hold of you?
You can try to... I usually try to respond to tweets. I don't tweet all that often anymore. But if I do, it's usually to try to get a reaction from people. So you can follow me on Twitter at BoothNinja81. Like I said, I do try to respond back.
You can get a hold of me at SCP21 on the Twitters. And so until next time, get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks.
Peace.